B-Pod Studios.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
Call and give us your take and then get off the phone.
Kelleher and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's 4:02, coming up on 4:02 in the evening here. Kelleher and Maz from Atlanta in Super Bowl 53. This hour of our programming is brought to you by Planet Fitness. The world judges they don't. PlanetFitness.com. Planet Fitness brings you the 4 o'clock hour here on Felger and Maz. We are mostly Patriots, as you might imagine, but that NBA rumor mill continues to churn, so we've got the Anthony Davis stuff on the board if you want to hit on that. I even see, what's this? Is this right? Do I have my readers on right? Red Sox bullpen? Do I have a Red Sox call on the board?
I don't know. Check it out.
Craig in Connecticut? The Red Sox? Who are they?
Hey, guys. Love. Thanks. I appreciate you taking my call. Quick question. Opinion on everything. Yankees making all these bullpen signs. Where do the Red Sox go from here? So I want to hear what you guys have to say.
Okay.
Oh, don't worry about it, Craig. Doesn't matter. I mean, once they get into the playoffs, they stick Eovaldi out there. Everything's good. You don't have anything to worry about anymore. Come on. 108 wins. World Series. You can live off that one for a while. You don't need relievers during the regular season. What are you, stupid? Come on. You don't need relievers.
Do you think they are too thin out there, Maz?
Yes. Yes, they're too thin. They've done jack, for crying out loud, except pick up a couple of, you know, bums off the scrap heap like this Mejia guy who used to be with the Mets and hasn't pitched in 4 years. Like, and I'm all for taking flyers on guys. I would like a couple of proven commodities out there, though. So I'm surprised they haven't done more in the bullpen. I thought their most pressing need, and they didn't have many, but I thought one of their most pressing needs was going to get if they could, a lefty power arm in that bullpen. There are plenty of lefty relievers out there on the market, and they don't have one.
Baseball offseason. Give me a break. Right. Harper Machado is still out there.
Isn't it ridiculous?
It's just unbelievable. Insane.
It really is. It's ridiculous. Two of the great free agents in history, and neither one of them is signed, and it's almost February.
And?
It is February.
And no one gives a poop. There's no interest.
Really?
There's no buzz. Like, I mean,
baseball needs to change some rules.
Oh, Brody in Maine has something for me. Go ahead, Brody.
Felger, you know, I love the show. I really like you guys. I do, even though you're a bit of a bitch sometimes. But I'm beginning to worry about you. You know, since the Chiefs game, I've heard you start complaining about the refs, which is something you say Patriots fans do religiously. I've listened to you, you know, chew out little kids getting to ask their heroes questions during media day. And you just have an overall sour mood this week when, you know, you should be happy. You're down in Hotlanta, you're partying it up with Big Jim and Maz, but you just seem like you're in a funk. And I, with all the bitching and complaining, especially about the refs, I mean, you're starting to become a little bit of a parody of yourself, and I'm wondering what's going on, man. We need to get you out of this funk.
Yeah. Brody, he's been hard to be around.
The last couple of Patriots wins have left a mark. I'm not going to deny it, and I think you people have gone over the edge, so it sent me over the edge. The officiating, it was born out of the fact. This is why I went to the officiating, because you people, before the game even starts, start throwing this Clate Bleakman Deflategate co-conspirator, the league's out to get us. Nonsense. Okay? So you're the people that brought up the officiating. Before the game even started, before there was a single call, it was a storyline in Boston, before that Chiefs game, that the league assigned a Patriots-hating ref to screw us out of the game.
Which is amazing, because he called one penalty on them in the prior AFC Championship game.
Yeah, Clate Snakeman.
Then you get into the game, and most close calls go your way. The league had so many chances there to if they wanted to pork you last week, they had like 8 different chances to do it, and they didn't take a single one of them. Okay, you got most of the close calls. You got the benefit of the officiating, but I'm the a-hole for mentioning it when you were crying about the officials before the game even started.
Yep, you're the a-hole.
Okay, so I'm just telling you. The reason the officiating was on the table because you brought it up, and then we get in the game, and they overturn the Edelman thing, and Brady and the passer, roughing the passer, and all these close calls are going your way. It's like, this is a joke. I thought this guy was supposed to be screwing you. He's giving you the game. So that's where that's from. I think, I do think that the Patriots' experience has gotten sour, meaning all you do is turn around and find the guy on the panel who picks against the team and bitch at him. Like, is that enjoyable? I enjoy trolling you. So don't mistake my my negativity, whatever you want to call it, for being unhappy. I enjoy this. So I like it. We dropped. We didn't know it. We were talking to ourselves for a full minute. I continued that rant. So that didn't air. Good. Good. You were spared my nonsense there. That's tremendous. Here's Tony and Pepper.
Let's
go
TV
back to
you. Apparently.
Go ahead, Tony.
Hey, how's it going, boys?
Okay. Go ahead, Tony.
How you guys doing?
Good. What do you got?
Good. Oh, I want to ask you guys just a shout out to my friend Maz. Faison, forget about it.
Tony, what do you got?
His comment line says, experience will make a difference in this year's Super Bowl.
Okay, you know how I feel about experience. And this came up the last time, too, or has come up repeatedly here in the postseason, that all of a sudden, you know, if we're going by experience, Belichick beats everybody. Right? He's got more experience than anyone. He's more accomplished than anyone. He's been more big games than anyone. It's over. Did he have more experience than Doug Peterson last year?
Yeah.
Because Doug Peterson kicked his ass. I mean, if you really want to weigh that one out, given the way that thing went, Belichick got embarrassed in the Super Bowl last year on multiple levels. So now, look, in theory, sure, but I think ultimately it comes down to makeup. And if Sean McVay is well-prepared and he's not afraid of Bill Belichick, then the Rams are going to be in the game. And they're going to be right there until the end. So to me, it's got more to do with the character of the people involved than it does with the experience.
Joe and Revere. Hi, Joe. Joe! Good Lord. Okay, I'm going to push away here unless you guys get your act together. We've got Craig in Tampa. Hi, Craig, on the Celtics.
Good morning. Yeah, a little on the Celtics. It's not really a Kyrie Irving issue. The whole Celtic dilemma comes to Gordon Hayward, and it needs to be addressed. Two things. And now, one is just put him on IR and shelf him for the year. You get a better team outcome. But why can't you do an NHL-type trade where you trade Gordon Hayward and your four number ones this year and for a water bottle from the Atlanta Hawks, give it to a team that's rebuilding and has cap space. Get rid of the cancer. It's killing the team. Go Pats.
Okay. I just wouldn't use the C word there, but Hayward's an issue. There's no question
about
it.
Yeah, but it's too early. Like, you're going to put him on IR and bury him for the season? There is a chance that somewhere along the line here it clicks with him. I mean, this is part of the deal with a guy coming off
this
heading.
Year?
Sure, yeah. There's a chance.
Yeah, I guess.
He's
but
got
if it
a
continues,
long way to go, man.
If it continues to look like it's looked the last couple of games where he's scored a total of 4 points, and maybe there's some resentment on behalf of other players, and this is something that Gasper's brought up, that some of these guys are like, why is he getting so many minutes? Why does Brad keep playing him? Oh, because he was Brad's boy, and he picked him up in the Prius at the airport. So if he's going to be a problem that way, and you know there's chemistry issues and all that, then yeah, they got to do something. Put him on IR. Make sure he gets his head straight, because he's a disaster.
Disaster.
So look, I'm not telling you that.
He follows up that Golden State game with 2 points the other night?
Brutal.
Good Lord.
Brutal. And again, he looked overmatched in the Golden State game. He just looked like he couldn't compete against the players on the floor. To me, that was the alarming part of it. But it's too early to pull the plug. It's too early. You got to give him more. Now, I'm not telling you he's coming back to the same level he was. But you're going to pull the plug now on January 30th? Way too early.
Jimmy in Rhode Island on the Pats. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Hey, how are you? I just want to talk about Tom Brady, all right? First things first, I don't think he's all that good. What he's chopped up to be, you know? I really think that Belichick is the man here. He's the one who guided Brady in the correct direction to become the greatest of all time. Brady's talent, it's not that good.
Okay, I'm just going to stop you there. Stop saying that. Or, you know, say that on your own time. I mean, I do put Belichick ahead of Brady. I do. I do.
I don't, but go ahead.
But Brady's the greatest of all time. So... if you're still arguing that, you're going to have to call somebody else. I don't know who's – I mean, no one's given that up.
Look, I mean, it has gotten harder for them here over the last 2 or 3 years. And I don't think that that's a stretch or that's any interpretation. 2 years ago, they were down 28-3 in the Super Bowl. They won it, but they dug themselves a hole. And a lot of people didn't think Atlanta belonged in the same breath as the Patriots. Last year, they lost. This year, they did it as the number two seed but had a win on the road in the AFC Championship game, which they hadn't done in a long, long time. So the road is getting more challenging and more difficult for them.
Alan is in Florida following up on the baseball thought. Go ahead, Alan.
Yeah, I did, Maz, I'm too. You know, people are waiting on Veasan for your pick. They're waiting with bated breath so they can run to the window. Anyway.
Yeah, just a couple more days, Alan. We'll announce it on Friday.
Okay, good, because they can't wait here.
No, I know it's a big deal.
Yeah, it is. It's a great station. I like it because they're the only ones that really know what they're talking about. But anyway, you know, You guys are so prejudiced. By the way, all these fake wins for the Red Sox. How about the Celtics when they beat Cleveland and they beat Chicago? And by the way, the two worst teams in the NBA, they lost to at home, by the way, the Knicks and Phoenix, who both have records of like 2-88. Anyway.
And we criticized them.
Yeah. Oh, really? Were they fake wins when they won, when they beat Cleveland and, yep, and Miami? And
yes,
fake
100%.
Wins?
They yes, were, yeah, they okay. were fake.
I didn't hear anyone say fake wins. Anyway.
Podcast available on 98.5thesportshub.com.
By the way, yeah, of course, one team won the World Series, the other team is garbage. But anyway, what I want to really talk about, look at the L.A. Times a couple of days ago, Mike. You know what the lead story was? Are the Dodgers going to get Harper? That was the lead story. I mean, there's no buzz in baseball. Try and get a ticket for April 9th. Try and get a ticket. Try and get a ticket all summer.
Alan,
35,000 every year, but there's no buzz.
There's
I know.
There is nothing.
There's no national buzz for baseball.
Alan, you're so
there
wrong.
There isn't, huh?
Alan,
that's why Fox just sold. How much did Fox just
Alan,
pay?
Why did ESPN just drop most of their baseball programming? Did you see that
Thank
news this
God.
Week?
ESPN should drop. The whole station should drop. I mean, who would ever listen to them? Stephen Smith and that garbage and Max Kellerman, who loudmouth piece of garbage who knows not what he's talking about. Who cares about ESPN?
So, Alan, you're a good baseball guy, so you're still invested. No one can tell me that there is buzz in that sport.
No, there isn't. Look again. I spend most of my professional life in it, for crying out loud. It's not the same. It's just not.
I was reading Manny Machado might take a one-year deal to go to the Padres. The Padres, just to get paid because I'm sick of being out here on the street. It's insane to me that it's gotten to this point with the two biggest names out there as free agents, and Machado and Harper, who I thought was going to get a $500 million deal. It's seemingly no one wants them.
And no one cares.
Right.
And it, just any other sport, literally two top 10 players. I think both those guys, you know, you may think Harper's a little overrated, but, you know, just work with me. Superstars. Available in free agency the same year. Any other sport. There's countdown clocks and guys are on planes and taking visits, and it's daily news. Who are they visiting? Who are they talking to? What's the rumor? What are the latest numbers? And it gets done in a couple weeks, and it's like a frenzy for 2 weeks for those two free agents. Baseball.
Mike,
it's 3 months later, and no one knows or cares.
Spring training starts in 2 weeks.
It's just preposterous.
2 weeks. Basically, February 14th, Valentine's Day, right around there every year is spring training. Nobody signed.
We continue with your calls right after these words.
The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Mass.
Oh.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Seattle huddling up, down four, but on the verge of the lead. Wilson with 33 seconds and counting. Waiting on the snap, Lynch to his left, Baldwin to the left as well. Stack receivers, two to the right. Russell Wilson extends the hands he has. Pass. Wilson, quick throw. And it's good. Intercepted. In Super Bowl 49 with a 4-point lead over the Seahawks.
So, I want to apologize on the air, as I just apologized off the air, to our next guest. Sitting in the big wide class market guest chair is Ricardo Lockett, former Seattle Seahawks receiver who was the intended receiver on that slant by Russell Wilson at the goal line. Waning moments of the Super Bowl a couple years ago that Malcolm Butler stepped in front of. Ricardo, thanks so much for joining us and sitting through that. We appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for having me, man. No problem.
Are you over it?
Yeah, how often do you relive that?
Yeah. Not that often. I mean, it's a game. You know, it was a great play on the Patriots' behalf. You know, it was a great, you know, Brandon Browner, he jammed the guy in front of me, and, you know, they made a great play. You know, that's football. Those guys are professionals just like we're professionals. You know, with football, you have to have a short memory. because on first down something could go wrong. On second down, we can get a first down. On it could go. You know, you could go a whole first quarter and nothing go right. You come back and win the game. You know, so that's what it's all about. And a lot of times, you know, the fans, they're like, "Oh my God, that is terrible." You know, he's probably like so distraught and this and that. But believe it or not, a lot of the times the fans are more disappointed than the actual player.
Okay, how about in that case?
For sure.
In that,
for sure.
So you weren't you don't.
I mean, I was disappointed, but I think I get over things well, you know, that's the nature of the beast. I've been playing football since I was six, and you know, now being retired, like just being around like my other friends and, you know, people who just kind of, you know, work typical jobs, and it's like, oh my God, I can't believe it, you know, I have a flat tire, you know, and it's like, no, you know, I've broken my neck. I've lost the football. I've lost a Super Bowl on the 1 yard line, and I've not been drafted. I had friends to die all of a sudden. I have friends that are Super Bowl champion right now that are in prison doing 8 years, a former Patriot. So there's a lot of things that happened in my life that developed the person that I am today, and I wouldn't change anything because that's who I am.
Do you think the Seahawks got over it? Well, you say I get over things well, but it feels like that team never really got past that play.
I think one or two players didn't get over it, but those players are now other teams, and you know, life goes on. At that time, it was really hard for us. We had to get over it.
And Sherman, you know, was one of those guys?
Yeah.
Do I think Sherm's over it?
Yeah, no, was he one of those guys that didn't get over it?
Yeah, it took him a while to get over it. You know, different people handle things differently. You know, Sherm, you know, Marshawn, Coach Carroll, Daryl Belville. You know, I've just been blessed to be one of the vocal leaders on that team. That's who I am. So, like, for me to be like, oh, my God, that's not who I am. The whole purpose for me being on that team is 100% morale. I shook Malcolm's hand when I saw him in L.A. Maybe that same offseason. We talked about it. He talked about how many times they went over to play. They knew exactly what was coming when it happened. So it's like, hey, man, that was a great call. You know, Coach Belichick, that was great preparation. You know, the Patriots, they prepare really well. And, you know, a lot of times people come on like, oh, my God, we got the guy from the Super Bowl, and he's going to be so sad, and we're going to bring him on. But I'm not that guy. I'm retired, and I'm happy every day. I have a great time.
But so, again, aside from your part of it, right, mm-hmm. when you say I've recovered, and, you know, it feels like when you look back, the perception is, I mean, the Seahawks were about to win second straight Super Bowl there.
For sure.
Right? And now it feels like that game changed sort of the course of that franchise's direction.
For sure.
That one play call.
For sure. I think.
So you
think,
agree with that play really altered things for that franchise.
I think it altered the franchise. But as far as the 52 guys that were on that team, I don't think so. Because we're the first ever Super Bowl champions from Seattle. And a lot of those guys are living pretty good, successful lives. And, you know, it hurts when you talk about it. But, you know, life goes on. It's going to be another hour, another minute coming up. So, but at the end of the day, it did change the franchise. A lot of players lost faith in the coaching's calling ability. A lot of people felt like we should have ran the ball right then. But, you know, I'm not a woulda, shoulda, coulda kind of guy. You know what I'm saying? That's just like saying, what if Tom Brady went to the Browns? Nobody cares. You know, let's just deal with reality, deal with what happened. And, you know, as men, you know, you stand in the paint and you move forward.
Okay, it's Ricardo Lockett, former Seattle receiver. He's here to talk about the football player's health study at Harvard University. We'll get to that in 1 second. Mm-hmm. Having played against the Patriots in a game like this, mm-hmm. different than a normal game for sure.
Mm-hmm.
What if you were talking to someone on the Rams and giving someone on the Rams advice about playing the Patriots in this kind of game, what advice would you give them?
I would say come out with extreme poise. Come out and play like it's just practice. Don't come out thinking that it's Super Bowl. Don't come out thinking that I got to beat Tom Brady, I got to beat the Patriots, because you're going to lose if you do that. You got to come out and play and be on your job and be very detailed, be very focused, be very poised. Because if you come out and you have the jitters and you make mistakes early and the Patriots jump up 14-21-0, you might as well, you know, roll that beautiful bean footage, as they used to say back in the day, because it's over.
And, you know, 60 minutes, that's a cliche, too. But, you know, all Patriots Super Bowls are 60-minute games.
Yeah, every football game is 60 minutes, but it could be over really fast. And it could be just a free fall, and they could have the third string in the fourth quarter, just like the Falcons thought that it was over.
Right.
28-3. Largest deficit. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you never know. It's, it, the Patriots, people say, oh, we hate the Patriots. We hate them, and we're so sick and tired of them being in the Super Bowl and this and that. We'll beat them. Then they won't be there. As simple as that. And that gives you a more understanding of how I think.
Have you made a pick in this game?
Rams.
You're picking the Rams?
For sure.
Why?
Because I want them to win, and I feel like they have the athletic ability to do it, and I feel like if they have the poise, then they could come out and jump on them.
Why do you want them to win?
I'm not a Patriots fan. Say it again.
Why?
I don't have any friends on the Patriots at this point. I have more friends on the Rams.
So that's all.
And I have a better time in L.A. Yeah.
Okay. You like the city better. And
right,
you get
right,
better.
Right.
But it's nothing.
And that's my personal opinion.
Yeah, yeah. But it's nothing about the organization or anything.
No,
like that.
I think they're first class. I think they're probably the best organization probably in the world. I think that. But do I want them to win? No. Am I cheering for them? No.
Okay, so I think that we've talked about this a lot, about the Patriots hate that's out there. I think that's enough.
Yeah, like, everybody hates Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah.
Everybody hates Alabama football team. Everybody hates the New England Patriots. That's just how life works. You know, that's just what it is. And you guys are fortunate enough for that to be your team. And it just so happens that the world's against you. So I wish you guys the best.
No, we get off on that, actually.
And you know what? I want to talk to you guys in Miami next year. So record this, and we're going to play this. I'm going to talk to you guys in Miami next year.
Love it.
It's a deal.
Tell me about the football players' health at Harvard.
It's okay. So the Harvard study, man, is pretty much about, you know, guys that, you know, we – okay, so if you can imagine, like, your mom or your dad or your son, like, working really hard to – you know, put the family in a better situation or just complete his dream. And then once he completes his dream and once he reaches the highest level of success, he can't get out of bed. He can't pick his son up, and he has headaches. He can't ride on a plane because he can't bend his knees for that long. I think, you know, especially as Patriots fans and you guys, you know, like, do they really care about winning, or do they care about the well-being of their players and this and that? I'm coming more from a standpoint of, like, that's my friend, that's my brother. And even though he's not playing football anymore, I talk to him every day and talk him out of being suicidal because of CTE. I talk him out of, you know, just leaving the house and abandoning his family and stuff like that. And there's a lot of stuff that goes on that people don't really know about. So what we're doing is we're trying to figure out how we can make it safer. We're trying to figure out what are the things that are actually causing these guys to, you know, have such traumatic injuries after football. You know, it's a great sport. Basketball players don't have to deal with that. Baseball players don't have to deal with that. So let's kind of even it out. And the guys that go through the most pain don't even have guaranteed contracts. So even though, you know, we're sitting here and it's like, wow, like this is, you know, the Super Bowl and the Patriots are great and amazing. But it's bigger than that, because if me, you, and you played, like your wife, your mom, your son, they want us to be the same person that went into the league. And typically that's not. And I'm blessed to be that way. I broke my neck, but I'm in my right mind. And if you guys could see some of the text messages and see some of the emails that we get, man, it's sad, man. Imagine if it was just your family. Just take football out of it. Imagine if 12 people in your family were dealing with headaches every day and dealing with this and that. Like, you probably wouldn't be that happy. You know, you'd be like, how can I help them, man? It's just like, it's so sad. They just sit in the house all day and just sit in the room and don't watch TV because, you know, migraines of going outside and the light and the sound and stuff like that. So what we're doing is trying to, you know, figure that out and ultimately help the former players and then start from Little League and work our way up.
Okay, folks, give it a Google. The Football Players Health Study at Harvard University. See if you can get involved. More information. Ricardo, thank you very much for coming by, and we really appreciate it.
Thank you, man. And I want to let you know that I hated the video that you guys played in the beginning of the thing, but I totally ignored it.
Here comes Murray's update. We're right back.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
B.O.B. Boob.
Oh, my God. Isn't that Bob?
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
A And this hour of our coverage is brought to you by our friends at Planet Fitness. The world judges they don't, planetfitness.com. So thanks to Ricardo Lockett for that little sit-down. It's an interesting spot to be involved in that play. I mean, that is that's an all-timer. I know he's happy and on with his life and all of that, but that's got to be a tough one. I'm sorry. Oh, God, that's got to be a tough one.
You know, he seems like a well-adjusted guy, and his career effectively ended because of a neck injury.
He was on the team the year before when they won it, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So he got his ring, and he was wearing them.
And he played one more year for them. He was on the roster in 2015 as well. And look, the Seahawks never get over it. So there is a connection to the current Patriots because they lost in a tough way last year. Now here they are. They're right back. And it's a hard thing to do. Now, the Seahawks thing was an extreme case. But, man, you don't live that one down. I'm sorry. That doesn't go away.
Ever. An all-timer. That is, that will always be a top three, five Super Bowl play.
Ricardo Lockett had 11 catches all season. That's the guy you throw to with the Super Bowl on the line, the ball on the one-yard line?
Throw it, Bev.
Holy crap. Like, you know,
that is,
you talk about the fork in the road of how things could have gone differently for everyone involved. Wow. If they had just handed the freaking ball off, you know, and now it makes me spin right into Kyle Shanahan. You too, you donkey. What are you doing? Hand it off three times and kick the field goal, and you're having your parade. Like, it's really astonishing. But look again, Lockett seems like a well-adjusted, unfortunately, a very well-adjusted man.
Thought he'd be here all pissed off.
Yeah, I was
off.
Hoping for a little psychosis there, but, you know, whatever.
All right, back to your phones, as promised. Greg in Boston. Hi, Greg.
Hello. So, listen, I just finished purchasing tickets to the game. I've got my flights, accommodations, everything all set up.
Nice.
But I'm looking to do something really epic there. I've been talking to my girlfriend about this for years. It's long been a dream. And at the game, I am looking to propose to her.
Oh.
So I was curious if I've never been to a Super Bowl before, and really I could just use any advice you guys might have, like the final logistics, how I might even be able to get the ring, like, into there with the box.
All right.
I'd like to get a photo of everything.
All right. I'm going to drop you, and you just listen off the air.
Was that called real?
I can't imagine it was.
I kind of think it was.
You think so?
Yes.
I don't.
Dude, don't get engaged at a sporting event.
That's the first bit of advice. Don't. Don't.
Even if it's the biggest sporting event, don't.
Don't.
Just don't.
Don't.
It's such a hack move.
It's a hack move.
Women don't like it, even if she's a big fan. Oh, don't do it. It's such a cheesy thing.
Yeah, I thought it was fitting, though, because Brady's the GOAT, and I think my fiance is the GOAT. I mean the GOAT, like the greatest of all time. She's like, so I just thought it'd be kind of cool to propose to her in front of Brady.
Don't do it. Do it before the game.
Do you guys know a way I can have Brady propose for me?
If you're going to a Super Bowl, I think the Super Bowl is cool. It's badass. My favorite part is watching the stadium fill up and the electricity build. So that would be my advice. You paid through the nose for the tickets. Don't come for the game. Just the game. Come when they open the doors and watch the stadium fill up. Watch Brady walk the field before the game. As soon as you can get in and start drinking or whatever you want to do. But that's my favorite part. The game itself, it drags, man. The commercials are a little bit longer. The halftime's longer. Everything's longer.
But the intense moments, man.
Oh, the
feel, the sound.
I'll tell you, the last three with the Patriots have been off the charts.
There is nothing like that electricity before kickoff. You know, just you can feel the air. You can't. Nothing duplicates that. Unless I used to get that feeling a little before a big concert. You know, real big Dead show or Pearl Jam show. The lights go down, boom, like that. That sort of moment. But that's the only thing I would compare it to. It's tremendous. Get in early.
I like the anthem in the Super Bowl.
Tremendous.
It's great.
But don't propose. Stephen Barica is back. Steve, are you there?
I am.
What do you got for us?
All right. Hey, listen. The ref did not miss the call in the Saints game. Okay? What happened was he ate the flag because he didn't want to affect the play. I'm sick of saying people missed the play. Brutal.
And Steve, I'll just stop you. That's why they didn't throw the flag, because they didn't want the game to be decided on a ticky-tack pass interference call. Obviously, that's why. But you've still got to call it if it's that blatant. The guy gets freaking tackled.
I mean, if it's gray, you hold the flag.
Yes.
But on a play like that,
he got mugged.
I mean, that was just, that was blatant.
Sorry, Steve.
It was as blatant as you could possibly be. You can't let that one go.
Andrew in Medford. Yes, Andrew, what do you got for us?
Hi, I just want to ask you guys a quick question. Is it possible that the Pats, possibly specifically Brady, are playing with a little extra urgency or motivation because they either have a feeling or a little bit of knowledge that it's Gronk last year and they want to get him one?
I think that's way down on the list. I think their motivations are, I think last year's loss is helping them. You know, we left one on the table last year. We did some things wrong. We're going to correct it this year. It's always easy to correct a mistake. You know, so I think that's a big one for him. And I think just the generic, Brady's just so damn competitive. It's just Brady's competitive nature, I think, is what just takes over at this time.
Do you think the fact that it's potentially Gronk's last game?
Yes, I do, but I don't.
Do you think it factors in for Brady?
No.
See, I do.
But by the way, I'm not convinced it's Gronk's last year. I think there's a really good chance he's back next year at full salary. We talked about this the other day.
Okay, but let's say that they know that it is.
Okay.
Then, do you think that Brady looks at it and says, I want to get one for Gronk?
Yes.
See, I do. I do, absolutely.
But
I
think it's still down the list, though.
Because I think, you know, yeah, I'm not saying it's number one. But I think Brady looks at it and says, not only do I want to get Gronk a win and send him out, I want to get him a touchdown and send him out. Like, I want Gronk to have a big day. And I think
that kind of scares me, because how did he end up throwing that interception in Kansas City, trying to force a ball to Gronk?
So that's true.
And some of those incompletions in that game, he's trying to force a ball to Rob Gronkowski. Like, don't do that just because you feel the need to get one to Gronk, because it might be his last game.
So it's going
to be
his last game.
Long commercial-free segment is next. Join us.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5
The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
If you get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mez, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Tom has said in an interview that there's zero chance that this is his last NFL season. And so is Coach Belichick definitely coming back too?
We have a great pact. He loves what he does. He's so good at it. We've created an environment where he can work to the best of his abilities, so I'm quite confident he'll be back.
Robert Kraft on CBS this morning. A little bit of a media tour for the Krafts today. They attended the usual commissioner's address today, so Robert spoke to a bunch of media outlets. So did Jonathan. Let's play some sound. Feels like a little bit of a... You know, and they're all asked the same thing about Brady and Belichick's future. And they put out a pretty clear message today that they expect both of them back and to be here for a while. Jimmy, what else you got? You got Kraft on Brady?
Well, think about it. The last 3 years, we've been privileged to go to the Super Bowl with a quarterback in place. I would be quite surprised if he didn't continue for quite a while as our quarterback.
Okay, there was also a headline out there, we don't have the sound, don't need it, where Kraft says he would be open to an extension for Tom Brady, which means absolutely positively nothing. It's zero. Like that, the news value in that headline, when I read that today, I'm like, what does this mean?
That's a slow news day.
It means, this means, I'm open to an extension too. Yeah. Who's not open to an extension? Sure. Are you open to pay the guy? Are you open to pay a market value? Are you open to really strike a deal with them? Of course. Window's always open for negotiation. You want to come to me and give me another offer? Window's always, of course, I'm open to a negotiation. I'm open to a contract. It doesn't tell me anything.
It's whether or not you can be convinced to do it.
No, the question is Brady going to ask for real money this time, and is he going to stick to that demand? That's the question. Will Brady finally put their feet to the fire on the money?
No. I mean, no. Again, I'm just telling you that he'll have a new deal by the beginning of next season. That's all I'm telling you. And I am more convinced of it than ever now. Like, I just don't think that Brady's going to play in the final year of his contract with the chance that they're going to have to franchise him at the end of the year. They will. It'll never get to that. They will put a new deal in place, and he'll get more money. He, you know, this thing with the incentives this year, let's be honest, that's a joke.
It was insulting.
It is insulting. On top of it, when they put the pieces, you know, they put them in the kind of predicament they put them in on top of it. It took the whole year for them to finally get the thing rolling, and now all of a sudden it's rolling. Brady lost all this money in the process. That can't happen again. And I don't think it will. I think you're going to see Brady get a raise. I'm not telling you he's getting Aaron Rodgers money, but he's not playing for $15 million next year.
He's going to get porked. That's it. It won't be an impressive contract, I don't think. If he says no, if he drives a hard bargain, and they can't come to an agreement, he will play under that. He will.
Well, he's not going to sit out. We know that.
Right. So,
but they'll find some sort of middle area that is more team friendly than Brady friendly, but. $15 million for Brady at this stage? Come on.
Well, there's a John Kraft piece of sound here from Tom Curran's podcast on NBC Sports Boston that you found interesting. So why don't we play that, Jimmy? John Kraft?
So what is the real understanding? Let's break a little news here. What will happen in 2019 with that tandem and the troika of ownership, quarterback, and head coach?
Well, I promise you, ownership is sticking around.
And I think you'll see our quarterback and coach there. So that's the answer. And that's the answer.
Tom, he has never walked into the final year of his deal without having it.
Well, is he walking? Redone. But we're still in the season before, so he's not in the final year of his deal.
Fair enough.
So
the way that ended to me felt like, you know, I felt Jonathan Kraft got a little defensive. Like, you know, well, Curran asks him or wants to ask him, look, you know, basically he's asking him, is there an extension coming? And Tom has never walked into the final year. Well, we're not there yet. We're not there yet. We're at the end of the previous year. Still don't, you know, which tells me it's coming. And again, I don't doubt that they've already talked about this. And hell, you know, Brady probably wanted more last year and ultimately gave in on the contract because he got Alex Guerrero back. But now that he's got Guerrero back, here we are again. And to me, I think effectively what they told you is, we're doing something for Brady. He's not going to go into next year on the final year of his deal. No shot. I just don't think you can do that to him. It's, you know, that to me would be the most disrespectful thing of all. Like, you know, you got to give him some money up front now, redo it in a bonus, whatever. You give him some money going into next year.
What's changed over the last year? And what I mean by that is, you know, a year ago, the Seth Wickersham story, which I think largely has borne out. I mean, I think he was right on that story, you know, in large part. But the whole thesis was that triumvirate is coming to an end sooner than later. Brady, Belichick, and the Krafts. The Krafts were never going anywhere. So it was Brady or Belichick that Wickersham and others, by the way, and Tom Curran. You know, Tom Curran's written it this year, that it's going to be drastically different next year. And not everyone's going to be here, like implying that Bill's walking or Brady's walking or something. And now it feels like they're all back on board. So what happened there? Who changed their mind, I guess, is my question. Who was gone?
Probably Bill. My guess is it's Bill. And they came to some sort of detente there. And, you know, Tom calmed down, and the thing was a little smoother late in the year, and then they started winning again. But it felt to me like the Brady-Belichick part of it had cooled before the postseason. Like they were more on the same page throughout the course of the year, and there wasn't the same spat going on that there had been in the past. So, I don't know, maybe Bill decided, all right, you know what, I can live with it. It's fine, Garoppolo's gone, I'm over it, I'll stay. Because a year ago at this time, I was wondering if Bill was coming back at all.
To me, the when Joshua Daniels jumped off the plane to Indianapolis and stayed, I thought, oh, that's it. Well, Bill's done in a year. He's going to give him one, maybe two more years, but Josh wouldn't turn that down unless he had this job. Now I don't know.
You put Brady coming back at 100%.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I think at this stage, we all would, when Brady comes out and says 0% chance
I mean,
retire.
And this is, by the way, the Wickersham stuff in the Palace queue, I believe 100%. I think that's all accurate. But I never believed that they were going to walk. I always said at the end of the day, cooler heads will prevail. They're not going to walk away from this. It's too special. They're still on top. And they'll stop short of their threat to walk. If Bill's threatened to walk or Brady wants out, as much as they talk tough or maybe...
I think they were near tipping points, though, when he wanted to really trade Rob Gronkowski. I think Brady
put
that on the
table. Oh, I think that was clearly a case this offseason. And then all of a sudden, Schefter with the Brady angle, he's not sure if he wants to play next year.
So I think Gronk is one of the reasons this thing is actually cooled between those two. And this is what's going to be interesting to see, because all of a sudden it feels like talk of Rob Gronkowski retiring wasn't as hot as it was just a few weeks ago. So what if he now wants to come back and wants to restructure? Now, does this become an issue again?
I wouldn't be surprised if they're all back. And Gronk's restructure, I think you brought this up. Someone brought this up. Brady's got leverage on that. Like, Brady... So look, here's the deal. Gronkowski's making $9 million bucks next year. That's too much for the way he looks physically, presumably. I'm not even sure it is. If he's healthy, he's still worth $9 million. But let's just say the team looks at it and says that's a bad number for you now. You need to take a cut, okay? We're going to cut your salary in half. Then Gronkowski says, well, screw that. I'm going to retire because now I can make $4 million a year in the wrestling ring. I mean, I can maybe I can't make nine making moves, but I can make four. So I'm gone. I'm retiring. Brady hears that. He goes to the crafts and says, well, he's gone. I'm gone. And now we're back in that same spot, just like trying to trade him.
Sure. And again, I also think there's the opportunity for Brady to say, don't cut Gronk's contract. You know, or the Patriots to say to Brady, fine, we won't cut Gronk. So we'll keep Gronk. We won't cut his pay. But you have to take
it. Yeah, right. Absolutely. They'll use that against him. Are you convinced that Brady wants Gronk to stay?
No.
No.
Okay. So that's an excellent. I wouldn't just assume that because Brady knows this guy's not the same guy. $9 million? We're going to. I mean,
doesn't the play on the field kind of prove that?
I mean, totally. How many times have we thrown him in the red zone this year? Like less than five or something.
Yeah,
something
not,
ridiculous.
Not many. I mean, that's for sure. Not many. So, look, I just think, again, I was asking you earlier where you put the percentages on Brady. Where do you think there's a good chance Gronk walks?
I think Gronk is 60-40 staying.
Okay. See, I
better than 50-50 that he stays.
I think I would say 60-40 going, maybe even more. I think Gronk's probably gone. Where do you put Belichick?
100%, they're staying.
You put Belichick at 100?
I never thought these guys were walking.
Okay, Seattle?
I thought they hated each other, but I never thought they'd walk.
I put Brady at 100. I still don't put Bill at 100. I will leave a little wiggle room on Belichick, 5%, 2%, I don't know, whatever. You pick the number. I don't care. I'm just telling you it's not zero. Because I still wonder with Bill, the whole McDaniels thing, like, what are the Crafts going to come out in Super Bowl week and say, yeah, this is it for Bill? Like, no, we expect him back. We feel good about it. So... And I'm not telling you that they're being deceitful. They're probably telling the truth. I still think with Bill, you never know. You never know.
Okay. Thoughts on the game. Thoughts on this stuff, Brady Belichick, and their futures. We hit on that. Maz, his opening take was that there's no free lunch here, Patriots fans. There's no such thing as house money. Murray and others, and I'm sort of in this camp, think the Pats have done well just to get here, and really what comes next is gravy. In other words, if they play well and lose, I don't think they'd – to me, that's not a fail. It's possible the Rams are better. It's possible the Rams are better. If the Rams are better and they put it all together and play well and you lose, no shame. No shame in that.
Well, let's just start celebrating the season now, then.
Yeah. All right, let's go out again tonight.
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah. Take me back to that place with those 40-year-old heavy strippers.
I didn't mean that kind of celebrating.
60-year-old heavy strippers.
Yeah, no, they were...
Did you see that one gal?
Did I see her? How could you miss her?
Oh my God.
It was like...
That was scary, but that's frightening, Murray.
But you don't really go there for that. It's just the scene of the whole place.
Uh-huh.
And the cheap drinks.
Okay, anyway.
Don't tell me you didn't like it. You liked it.
No, I did.
No,
I
it, was
did
like, it was like watching a naked Gresh dance.
She left a mark, though. That wasn't pleasant. But Maz says no free lunch, no house money. You come here to win. And so that's Maz's thought. You can weigh in on that if you want, whatever you want. Your calls, I promise, right after Murray's 90-second update, no commercials.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.